turn our Bibles as we continue our study through Colossians. We're in chapter 1, and I want to read beginning in verse 15 to you this morning. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Paul the Apostle writes from a prison cell, and he says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things," say that with me, "all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, everything that is, that Jesus our Lord, that he may have preeminence." And the church says, amen. Amen. That should be read on our knees. There's not a greater passage of Scripture in the entire New Testament, loved one. And what just happened there as I read that, we move from Paul's incredible prayer for freedom for this little church at Colossae last Sunday, and now we move into the highest expression of the supremacy of Christ found anywhere in Scripture. You know, I hate to say it like this, but I'm not fit to teach this. I don't think any pastor is fit to teach this. It's something that should be read upon our knees and meditated upon. It is deeper than any person can understand. Jesus is before everything that there is. Amen? And this, and what Paul just said and what I just read, this backs up the reality of what Paul told us last Sunday. We are qualified in Christ. Isn't that a great thing? We're qualified. I mean, we're not disqualified, we're qualified. And not only that, we have been rescued from the powers of darkness, amen, delivered completely from them. Our sins, as far as the east is from the west, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That was all last Sunday, loved one, and all of this was accomplished through one person, and it can only be accomplished through one person, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, as we set all this up again, you know that we have to go behind the scenes to understand Colossians in a greater way. Now, what's happened, even though Paul doesn't say who it is, we know from history that the Gnostics had now invaded this little tiny house church in Colossae. Paul's writing, of course, a letter to them from prison. And so the supremacy of Christ Jesus, our Lord, was under attack. You see, the Gnostics, they didn't believe in the sufficiency of Christ for salvation. They didn't believe in his humanity, and they certainly didn't believe in his deity. They gave Christ prominence, but they did not give him preeminence. So this letter is really a refute to the false teaching that was occurring there at Colossae. So remember that these Gnostics, they elevated knowledge, or actually elevated secret knowledge. Only they had it. And they believed that this secret knowledge plus Jesus, because Jesus wasn't enough, that this would make them, that get them to the Lord, if you will. In other words, we're going to learn, you know, later on that they worshiped angels and so forth. They probably even hugged trees. I don't know, you know. And they taught all those things. They probably would even say you had to watch the Dallas Cowboys to be saved. But we know that's not true. Amen? This side, yes, I don't know about you, okay? No, listen, nothing has changed today. Every false teacher, and a false teacher is always, behind the false teacher is the wicked one, amen? They want to always make Jesus our Lord less than he is. He's not enough to save you. Oh, they recognize that he exists. The Gnostics didn't deny him. They just dethroned him, okay? The same thing happens today. So the world, false teachers, and all that we're facing as it gets worse and worse in this world, they want to make Jesus, they want to water down Jesus. They want you to have a watered-down version of who Jesus is. He's just a figurehead, if you will, of the church of Christ and so forth. No, he's the king. Amen? He is our Lord. So now we enter into holy ground. Verses 15 through 20, and I'm only going to cover to 18, is the clearest, unbelievably clearest, greatest presentation of the supremacy of Christ found anywhere in the Word of God. And the title of this morning's message is, What Shall I Give Him? So here we go in verse 15. Again, these scriptures, they have no equal. It's amazing that they were written from a prison cell. You know, this incredible passage. But let's begin in verse 15 where Paul says this, talking about Jesus, our Lord. He is the image of the invisible God. He's not going to be, loved one. He is right now the image of the invisible God. Amen? And so when Paul writes that, that word image means literally more than just a likeness. He is the perfect, exact manifestation, visible manifestation, and also the perfect, exact manifestation of the likeness of God. Someone put it like this. It says, what is God like? Well, he's just like Jesus. Well, what God is, Jesus is. What God does, Jesus does. What God says, Jesus says. Loved one, Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three personalities. Amen? Listen, Jesus our Lord, who is present with us right now, whether you feel it, whether you believe it or not, He is here. He is present right this moment, and He truly is the image of the invisible God, loved one. It says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus, He is the brightness of God's glory, and listen carefully, and the express image of His person. Express image, the perfect, exact representation of who God is, the full revelation. Isn't it hard to grasp that God our Father, as we go, you know, we go to our Father in Jesus' name, but God is invisible. Think about that. I mean, God is a spirit, amen? The Bible says in John 4:24 that He says God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him, Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:16, it says, God who dwells in inapproachable light, whom no man can see, nor who has ever seen. Even Moses, whenever Moses told the Lord, remember in Exodus, I think it's 33, he said, oh Lord, show me your glory. And God says, oh Moses, you don't understand, man. No one has ever can see my face. He says, but here's what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and then I will pass by you and show you all of my glory. And as the Lord came by, He put His hand over the cleft of the rock as He passed by. And Moses only saw the afterglow of God. And he said, His mercy and His goodness and His love. Amen? So no man has seen God and has ever lived and so forth. It says in John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, that ultimate intimate fellowship, if you will. He says, here it comes, He, meaning Jesus, has declared Him, meaning God. The word declared there in the Greek language, or really in our English language, we get the word exegesis or exegetical, meaning to bring out into the open or to interpret or to explain. Jesus was born of a virgin. He came from heaven. Amen? He's the God-man. He came, and when He was born, loved one, and then became the God-man, listen to me now, He was not only the full representation of God, He explained who God is, who God, and all of those things, and He literally brought God out in the open for what purpose? So we could know Him. So that's why Jesus became man. Listen carefully now. Jesus is the visible representation, if you will, of the invisible God. Whenever Philip came to the Lord, there in John 14:9, and he says, Lord, show us the Father. And what? Remember what Jesus told Philip? He said, Philip, have you been so long with me and you have not known the Father? And then he says this, if whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What a word. Loved one, Jesus, again, is the visible expression of the invisible God. See, did Jesus begin at Bethlehem? No, but the Gnostics taught that. They didn't believe that he descended from heaven at all. They didn't believe that he was the God-man. They believed that he was just some kind of angelic being, if you will. But Jesus didn't begin at Bethlehem, and Christ is not a created being, as the Gnostics were teaching. Listen, Jesus is the eternal God. He has always been. He has always existed. Amen? Before anything else, it was God the Son, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it says here that he is the firstborn over all creation. Now, the firstborn means literally this: he existed first. He was prior to creation, and he is sovereign over everything in creation. Amen? That's what that word means. So the word firstborn, let me see if I can pronounce it phonetically in the Greek, okay? Because you know that I don't know Greek, but it's prototokos, okay? Firstborn. Now, the reason I said that is because you have in the Bible, remember how we call Adam the first Adam and Jesus the last Adam? And it makes you kind of start thinking that, okay, well, the first Adam was a prototype, if you will, for the second Adam. But that's not true at all. See, that no, Jesus has preeminence. Jesus was before Adam, amen? So you can really say that Jesus was the prototype, or the prototype, however that word says, okay, of Adam and Eve. Let me give you the scripture for it. It says in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, interesting, let us make man, and let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. You know what's wonderful about that passage? Is that right now the Bible teaches that those who are in Christ Jesus, those who are truly born from above, guess what's happening? The Holy Spirit of God is transforming us into the very image of Christ Jesus, or Christ's likeness. Amen? We are going from glory to glory to glory. We don't start out, you know, we're start out as babies in Christ, and then we grow and we grow and we grow. But as we do, we're looking more like Jesus the older we get. The Bible tells us when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, in Romans 8:29, he says that we have been predestined, marked out, chosen before the world, if you will. That's a beautiful word, predestined. It's not an ugly word, by the way. Some pastors have made it that way. It's a beautiful word. We have been predestined to be conformed to the very image of Christ Jesus. Listen, we have been made in the image of God. Amen? What shall we give him who has done such great things for us? Now look at verse 16. Again, it says, for by him, no one else, only Jesus, for by him, how many things were created? All things. Wrap your head around that. Listen, Jesus is preeminent. Jesus is the Lord of creation because he created everything. But the Gnostics were teaching, no, that's not true. We don't hold that view at all. They said that, you know, there was various levels of angels and so forth, and they were worked their way up, you know, and then Jesus was just one of those angels, if you will. But the Bible says in John 1:3, it says, all things were made through him, meaning Christ, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus wasn't created. Jesus is the creator. He was before creation. And he was there when creation came into existence. Those words, all things, loved one, listen to me. Those are huge words. I mean, not a single thing that exists came into being except through Jesus. Everything, absolutely everything was made through him. Watch it now. Not only in heaven, can you imagine? Like I told the early service, can you imagine what we're going to see when we get to heaven? I mean, all that God has created. Oh, man, unbelievable. Not only did he create everything in heaven, he says, and that are on earth, visible, things that we see, invisible, things that are unseen, like those. Did you know there's a little bitty stuff called crawling over your skin right now? Yeah, they're doing, I don't know what they're doing. You don't, never mind. No, listen, he created all those things, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. You know, the angels, and then the angels that sinned and fell from their first estate. He created absolutely everything. Think about it. Why did the winds and the waves obey Jesus? All he had to do was say, peace be unto you, or be muzzled, if you will. And the waves, immediately they would cease. The wind would, storms, whatever. It's because he created them, amen? He's the creator over everything that is. And he rules and reigns supreme over all of his creation. In Hebrews 1:2, it says this. It says, in the last days, it says, God has spoken to us, all mankind, by his Son. He says, whom he appointed heir of all things. And then it comes and it says, through whom also he made the worlds. He made the ages. Listen. When it says made the ages, that means everything that's in time, everything that's in eternity, everything that there is, he did, he made, he created. Did you know that history, the ages, is his story, amen? Man thinks that they're guiding this planet. They're not guiding this planet. The Lord is taking care of all of that. I mean, how many stars? Have you ever made, anybody made a star? How many galaxies? Now they're saying we have UFOs. You know what I mean? You know, somebody asked me about that, and I said, well, here's one. If one shows up, I'm just going to ask him one question, or maybe she. Who knows what they are? Or maybe they're grasshoppers. Who cares? But if they show up, I'm going to say, I want to ask you one question. Whose image were you made in? And if they don't say the image of God, I know that they're from the wicked one. Amen? That's right. See, the galaxies, the galaxies go on and on and on. There's stars, but Jesus just spoke it. And it just happened, loved one. Oh, listen, think about water. You know, every time that I take a shower, and which is every day, by the way, you know, I thank the Lord that I'm able to take a shower. The water, and you're able to put soap on and clean up, and some of you need that, man. And you know what I mean? You know, or you know, you take the snowflakes. Jesus created all those things. We take for granted. Look at the wood, the lumber right here, this knotty pine from South Carolina. You know, that knotty pine up there is 6 inches thick. What, six? They don't make that kind of stuff anymore. But look at it. Who made that? Jesus did. He created that. You go try that sometime. Go speak that into your backyard, huh? It doesn't work that way, loved one. Jesus did it all. Look at the rainbows and the wind, and you have spring and summer, all the seasons. He, gravity, everything that you have, everything is here. Jesus created it all. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. In other words, Jesus spoke and it happened. God said, let there be light. Light was. Amen? And it says, so that the things which are seen, everything that you see right now, loved one, the universe, the earth, all of it, it says the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, God called into existence all of this before it ever had an existence. Does that make sense? Think about that. There was nothing. I mean nothing, and God just spoke. That's our Lord. That's the power of our Savior. Amen? Oh, listen, I look at that and I say, dear Lord, man, I mean, he made something out of nothing. Has you ever met anyone that has created anything out of nothing in our world? No, they can't. They have to have something to create something. But God just spoke it. He just spoke it. We live in a world and we watch a universe with our eyes, the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets. We live in a world that was spoken into existence by the power of Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs, or maybe it's Psalm, it's in the Bible. Psalm 33:9, it says that he spoke He just spoke it. It was done. He commanded, and it stood still. Loved one, listen, that is the power of our Savior, and he reigns supreme. And it says again in verse 16, all things were created through him and for him. What a word. This is deeper than I know how to teach. That when you say it was created for him, that means that Jesus, our Lord, is the final and ultimate goal of everything that he has created. It says that all things, everything had their beginning in Christ. And all things not only depend upon Jesus, they also serve Jesus, for he is the creator. Does that make sense? Christ is the goal, okay? One scholar says this, Christ stands at the beginning of the universe as the one through whom it came into being, and now he stands at the end as the goal of the universe. What does that mean, basically? It means that all things began with Jesus, and all things are going to end with Jesus. Everything on this planet, everything in the world, everything that there is, listen to me now, everything, I mean absolutely all things sprang from his command. Think about that. He spoke, it was done. And all things are going to return to him at his final command. That is the God that we serve. That is the God who loves us, who said he would never leave us and never, ever forsake us. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. Paul told the church at Ephesus about what we're talking about here, the goal, the end of all things. He says in Ephesians 1:10, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, meaning when history comes to its final completion, that he might gather together in one all things, everything that there is, all things in Christ. That's the whole creation. And he says, which are in heaven, which are on earth in Christ. Let me read to you Phillips' translation, a great translation of the Bible. It says, for God allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and here it is. Phillips writes, he says, he purposed long ago in his sovereign will that all human history should be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists, everything, think of that, in heaven, in earth, should find its final perfection and fulfillment in Jesus. When is that going to happen? It's going to happen at the second coming, isn't it? At the second coming, you know, remember what happens? Loved one, man will never have rule on this planet again. Amen? Jesus will sit upon the throne. He will rule for 1,000 years, and we will reign with him, the Bible teaches. What shall we give him today? Dear Lord, we owe him everything. Amen? He says there in verse 17, and he, meaning Jesus, is before, he, you know, exists before all things, that he is before all things and in him, like we are in Christ, okay? In him, all things consist. Have you ever, you know, how you watch Nova, or like last night, Becky and I, we were watching this, I don't know what it was, that David Attenborough, you know, where they come and this, you know, I mean, if one eye's open and closed, he's only 150, okay? And I'm trying, and he's an evolutionist, I mean, to the core. And so they're talking about how the ice caps and this and that and all these things. And I'm going, you didn't give God glory for anything. You know, this we didn't just, the Big Bang didn't bring all this about. You know, we didn't crawl out of some cosmic slime and, you know, all of a sudden an eyeball popped out and, you know, and then legs grew. You know what I'm saying? Come on. No, that's not how it worked. Loved one, Jesus created all things, man, and by him, through him, in him, everything consists. That word consist in the Greek means held together, and it's present tense in the Greek, which means Jesus continually ongoing, holds everything together. Think about that. Everything there is, loved one. Look at it. In Him, all things. A theory doesn't hold our world together, our universe together. Amen? But a person does. And He is our Savior. And He is our King. Amen? He holds all things together. And not only did He create everything, Jesus is the only personal sustainer of everything in creation. He holds everything together. J. Vernon McGee said this, if Jesus let go, he says, man, listen, he says the cosmos would be chaos. And that is a true word. In one day, everything will fall apart. And the reason it starts falling apart is because Jesus is relaxing His hold. Does that make sense? That's what's happening to our world right now. Listen to me. This universe doesn't belong to America. You can go put a flag on the moon. You can go to Mars and whatever those little things are there. I don't know. But you know what? This is Jesus's universe. It belongs to Him because He created it. And He also does something else besides holding it together. It directs this universe. He maintains this universe. Matter of fact, His power, everything that there is, the smallest unseen thing, the smallest unseen unknown thing, Jesus holds together. You know why this Bible, our Bible, the pages of my Bible, that they just don't explode off the page? Because Jesus is holding the world together. Does that make sense? That's how powerful, loved one, that our Lord is. And He is guiding right now, right this minute. He's guiding the universe. He is guiding the earth that we live upon to its final destiny. The world is imploding. Our governments are imploding. The marriage has already imploded. You know what I'm saying? Everything is so confused and messed up and all the things that are occurring. And you know why? The world's not falling apart like you've heard me say so often. The world is falling into place because Jesus is the one who has the power to maintain it and to guide it. Oh, how thankful we should be. You know, the Bible tells us in Job 12:10, it says, in whose hand, meaning God's hand, is the life of every living thing. Right now, the life that you have is from God. It says also in the breath of all mankind. If you're able to breathe right now, it's God is the one allowing you to do that. Do you understand? So Jesus, is He enough for you? We have to look at the church and we have to wonder, don't we, sometimes? I mean, the creator, the sustainer. I mean, not only did Jesus create everything, did you know that everything that Jesus created is for a reason, it's for a purpose? Ephesians 1:4, it says that God, what did it say? That God chose us in Him, in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the earth. See, we have a purpose. We're here for a reason, amen? Yeah, and you think about all that God created, all that Jesus has created. I was looking at some facts, you know, how you just Google stuff. Let me give it to you. There are over 800,000 cataloged insects. How would you like to do that for a living? 800,000 cataloged insects. Now listen, in some of those categories I read, it said, and some, they have over a billion species. And they're all created by Christ. Think, you know the cicada? Now, I don't know why God created, what's the purpose of a cicada? They make a horrible noise. And where is it? Probably Arkansas, Oklahoma, where all those cicadas came up out of the ground after 17 years. It wasn't Arkansas. Was it Arkansas? And they said that they started coming out and they come out at night and they start singing. And you can't even hear. It's deafening. I tell you, if I saw that many coming, billions, this is what it said, billions coming up out of the ground, you know. Listen, I wouldn't go to that state, you know. I mean, I think I said, dear God, why would you do that? I mean, all those insects. And, you know, think about how, why, you know, we don't create anything. Look at the junk music. That's not creation. You know, the music today, you pull around, get up to a red light, and they got the car that's bouncing, you know, and it's so loud, you know, you don't know if the red light, what's going on, and, you know, and you're afraid to even look over there because you're afraid you're going to get shot. That's why I'm going to buy me one of those tall trucks. You know, you have to have three ladders to step down, you know, that way I can look down on them or something. No. I mean, just if you go outside, I love to go outside early in the morning. I take my coffee and I pray and so forth sometimes. And the birds are everywhere. And they start singing. Who created the singing of the birds? I mean, think about that. And you know what's amazing is that, you know, you have the hummingbirds. And then you have bees. And then you have mosquitoes, which we love mosquitoes. And all of them, they come around. And then, you know, you hear like these birds. And I know the mockingbird. I know the robin. All the rest. But then you hear a bird that is so, I mean, loud, and you think, this must be like a man-eating bird, and he flies up and sits on the roof, and he's about this tall. I mean, think about that. Jesus did all of those things, loved one. They're all created by the Lord. Look at all the colors. Becky showed me a picture of a sunset the other night that she took on the way home. The colors were absolutely magnificent. That just didn't happen. That was created. You know, I mean, you know, like I just had our anniversary and so forth, and I brought home, you know, roses, about 450 roses, and brought them all home. And the aroma from a rose, you know, are all flowers. Think about that. You know that if you're around a lot of red roses, did you know that aroma comes off on you? Yeah. And Jesus created all those things. The butterfly. Would you have created a butterfly? You know, a tree. Look at the leaves, the different leaves on it, all those things that we take for granted. Loved one, Jesus created all of those things. Go into the ocean, you know? I'll never forget the first time I saw a manatee. You know what a manatee? I was fishing with my best buddy in Florida. He has a dock right in his home. He's wealthy, you know? Not like me, but, you know, we'd go out there and we'd have your lawn chairs, but it's on the ocean. And so I had, you know, the fishing pole. And then that thing came by, and so I said, Michael, did you see what was that? I thought it was like a whale or a shark, but it was that manatee that came by. Listen, I wouldn't get in that water. Or the singing of the whale. Think of all that Jesus has created, loved one. I mean, let me ask you a question. You know, when was the last time that you really just investigated one drop of water? You can do anything on Google today. Did you know that? Just one drop of water. I'm not talking about the water that you drink that's full of chlorine, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just water out there, just, you know, the lakes or whatever and so forth. You know, listen to what I found out. It says here, did you know that just one drop of water can hold 500 million microscopic creatures so small, okay? 500 million so small that one teaspoon of water would be to them like the Atlantic Ocean. That's incredible. Jesus created everything. Now listen, it says a half billion microscopic protozoan can live comfortably in one single drop of water. Is that unbelievable? Things seen, things unseen. He created them all. I went on about that study, and you know what it said? Some of them, in that little tiny drop of water, okay, a drop. It says some of them are carnivorous, meat eaters. It says they possess mouth, teeth, muscles, nerves, glands. We call them Democrats. No, that's not there. That's the NIV version. Forgive me. No. And some of them have between 100 and 200 stomachs. In that, come on, man. And you want to go be baptized at Lake Grapevine? No, we don't do that to you. You swallow one, you'd be eaten alive. And you know, no, never mind. Listen. I don't know why some believers, why do you start thinking that Jesus is not enough? He's enough. He loves us. He is enough. He's more than enough. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm falling apart just like you do. But I'm telling you that Jesus is enough to hold us together. You know what I've learned? I've learned that no one knows my heart like Jesus. No one but like Jesus. Whew. He can help you. He's always there for you. What shall I give unto him? Oh, Lord. Look at this. It says, and he is the head, not another man, not the head of another religion in the world. Jesus is the head of the body. We're the body. Amen? It says the church, meaning the redeemed believers all over this world. That's who it is. Listen, Jesus is not only the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. He alone and no one else is the supreme head of all of the universe and everything that there is. And he is the supreme head of the body of Christ, the church. That's us. That's who we have. And look at him. It says, who is the beginning? That means the origin, the founder. He is a source, the head of the church, of the body. Amen? He's the only source of life, by the way. Who is the firstborn from the dead? Why was that? Because death couldn't hold him. Aren't you glad that Jesus tasted death for every man? So you won't have to taste it. He defeated him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. Death couldn't hold our Lord. He's God. Do you understand? He created everything. Death had to run from him and flee from him. Could never hold him. 3 days later, he's up. Man, he is risen again, never to die again. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:16 that Jesus, he lives forever in the power of an endless life. That's true resurrection, I'll tell you. It's good to know today that we don't have some dead, lost leader. Amen? Our Lord is present with us right this very minute. We are the church of the living God, and we, loved one, listen, we are right now, present tense, and always will be in union with the one who is supreme over all things. Oh, we need not be afraid of anything. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him, the fullness of Jesus, which fills all in all. We, the fullness, we're going to talk about that, the Lord willing, next Sunday. Everything that we have his power, we have his love, we have his gifts, we have all these things working within us, and we have his presence with us always. And here is the theme of Colossians, that in all things, everything that there is, every place where anything is in this universe, that in all things Jesus may have the preeminence. That's only used here in the New Testament. It means first place, first in rank. Jesus is supreme. Amen? Oh, look, I look at that and I say, Lord, just like it says in Colossians 3:11, that Christ is all and in all. I thank God for that, that he might have supremacy in all things. What shall I give unto him? We all need to give him first place. Amen? He loves us. He died for us. Oh, our Savior. Listen, you know, to have first place. We all have something as first in our life. Let Jesus be first. Amen? Oh, you know, we don't want to be lukewarm. Look over at Colossians, or chapter 2, verse 8 with me. And Paul gives this warning. This is about those Gnostics, these false teachers. And I want you to look at this with me just for a second. Paul gives a warning. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you. That word cheat you literally means to kidnap you or to take you captive or take you hostage or take you as a possession, okay? So beware lest anyone cheat you, and look at how they do it. Through philosophy, of course, we know the word Gnosticism comes from the word knowledge, and they loved knowledge, especially secret knowledge that they obtained from the occult or whatnot. He says, through philosophy and empty deceit is, it means it sounds so good, but it's empty. He says, and not only that, according to the tradition of men according to the basic principles of the world, meaning this is, we'll learn when we get over in chapter 2, that's talking about the demonic realm. And then he says, and not according to Christ. Listen, it's terrible for a Christian to be held hostage, to be taken captive by wrong teaching, and a false teaching that's so prevalent today. You know, if you ever hear anyone that says, you know, you got to earn it, brother, you got to earn that salvation, you need to run from that church, because you cannot earn your salvation. It is a gift of God. It is by the grace of God. Amen. That lest anybody should boast, you can't be good enough to get to heaven. No one. There's only one that's good enough. It's still good enough, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't earn it, but boy, you can receive it. You can say, Lord, save me, and he will. Praise the Lord. Another thing is that, you know, when you hear that you have to earn God's love, I'm thankful that, you know what? I am thankful I can honestly say at 55 years of age, Mario, that I know that God loves me. He loves me. See, God's love is not like our love. It's not conditional. It's unconditional. And it never changes because, as the scripture teaches, God is, he's love. It doesn't go up or vacillate, or if you're doing, look what you've done. No. God loves me when I'm in trouble, and God loves me when I'm not in trouble. Does he chasten those that he loved? You better believe it. But I'm telling you, God, he loves us. You know, and you can't earn forgiveness. You can cry out for forgiveness. And you can hurt in your heart and say, oh, please forgive me. And that's okay. But here's the promise, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, here's the problem. Jesus is supreme. And if you don't really know that Jesus is enough, or if you do know that Jesus is enough, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing can take you hostage. Nothing can kidnap you. Do you understand? But if you don't know and don't believe that Jesus is enough, and you go through the problems of this life, I'm telling you, there's something just waiting on you to capture you, because you'll run to other things except our Lord. You'll go to things that's not going to help you. Listen, the one who created everything, who sustains everything, he let man that he created nail him to a cross. A cross that, the wood from the cross that he created. The nails that came from his, do you understand me? He created Jesus, he created the leather, the lictor's lash, full of the bones that God created, the glass that God created. Do you understand? And the lead, that all those things. And he let the hand that he created scourge his back and rip his flesh from his body. The one who created everything, owns everything, who is the ultimate goal of all the universe, the final ending. Loved one, he died in my place. He died in your place. He took your sin. He took my sin. He died our death. Amen. Well, how can we not say, what can we not give to the Lord? We need to give him all things, loved one. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ suffered once for sins, the just, meaning Jesus, the just, for the unjust, that's us, and the purpose that he might bring us to God. When I ask that question, what shall we give him? How about first place? Amen. How about first place? And you have to ask yourself, Christian, does God have first place in your life? You know, that's a good warning, isn't it? That's not a beating the sheep. Man, that's lifting up the Lord and saying, listen, he owns you. You're the sheep of his pasture. Amen? We don't want to be a bunch of rebellious sheep. We want to say, Lord, you're first place, and that's the deal. Listen, right this minute, things are happening in our world. And I tell you, we were singing that song about Jesus coming. I think he could come right now. In this whole world, God is doing something. He's moving everything toward one goal, and that is the day that Jesus Christ, God the Father, looks at God the Son. He says, it's time. And he comes back, and you know what? He finishes everything, and Jesus sits upon the throne of all that there is. Amen? And that is going to happen. So you know what we need to do? If you don't know the Lord Jesus, I want you to listen to me now. Those that are listening live, maybe on the radio or they're here in the chapel, listen. If you don't know Jesus, God has given him a name, exalted him, given him a name above every name that can be named. Did you know the Bible teaches that there's only one name given under heaven by which a person can be saved? And that is the name Jesus Christ. No other name can save you. Think about that. The power in that. It's Jesus, the King. And not only that, you know, there's no other way to get to heaven. There's only one way. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it. But here's how you can get there. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, not a truth, the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Paul says there in Philippians, from where I was quoting a moment ago, he says this, he says, listen, at the name of Jesus, this is what's going to happen one day, loved one. It says, every knee shall bow. Every knee, wherever that knee may be. Do you understand? One day, every knee is going to bow to the King of Kings. It says, not only that, it says every knee should bow in heaven, all of heaven, the cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, all the saints of God, everything that is there, they're going to bow. It says, and everything that is on the earth and those that are under the earth, that encompasses everything in all of creation, okay? And that every knee will bow and every tongue should confess Jesus as Lord. Listen, if you don't know Christ, let me tell you something. I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. Listen now, if you don't bow your knee today, if you don't know Christ, if you're not born again, you will bow it then. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. You will bow it then. You have no choice because he is supreme over everything. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around, listen, today is the day of grace, and I think it's probably closing in. It's nearly over. Listen, I'm not asking you to join Calvary Chapel if you're visiting or maybe you've just been hanging out here for a while, but here's the deal. Jesus loves you, and you can give him your heart right now. You don't have to come to the altar, but here's what you do have to do. It's an act of faith. You have to just lift your hand up and say, Bill, would you pray for me? I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want him to save me right now. If that's you, just lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, that's me. I want you to pray for me. Quickly, if that's you, just God bless you, that's right. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Put it up high so I can see, because there you go. God bless you, sir, that's right. Anyone else, say, Bill, yes, God bless you back there, that's right. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to be saved right now by the King of Kings. Anyone else before I close here? Those who lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. And those that are listening live, you pray this prayer with me as well. Church, I want you to help me out. Say, Father, I just heard the truth. His name is Jesus. So right now, I bow the knee and I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised in your word, if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. I'm saved. In Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Now, listen carefully. We're getting ready to do something.